ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कंटिन्यूइंग अवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता, दिस इज चैप्टर नंबर 13, टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड नेचर द एंजॉयर एंड कॉन्शियसनेस। पुरुष प्रकृतेस्तो हि भुङ्क्ते प्रकृतिर्जान् गुणान्। कारणं गुणसङ्गस्य सदसद्योनिजन्मसु। पुरुष प्रकृतेस्तो हि एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: द लिविंग एंटिटी इन मटीरियल नेचर दस फॉलोज द वेज ऑफ लाइफ एंजॉइंग द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटीरियल नेचर। दिस इज ड्यू टू हिज एसोसिएशन विद दैट मटीरियल नेचर, दस ही मीट्स विद गुड एंड एविल अमॉन्ग वेरियस स्पीशीज। पर्पोर्ट: This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How is he put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the signs of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long cherished desire to dominate material nature. And gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionately relishes his eternal blissful life. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। सो वी विल फोकस टुडे ऑन अ टॉपिक थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। द एंटायर वर्स एंड श्री प्रभुपाद्स पर्पोर्ट इज डेडिकेटेड टू हाउ अ लिविंग एंटिटी हु इज ट्राइंग टू एंजॉय बट इज सफरिंग इन द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर, and that because of three modes of material nature, He continues his perpetual suffering by taking one body after another. And if he has to come out of it, the only way is to get free from three modes, and the possible process is Krishna consciousness. So we can see in this material world, everywhere people want to become more and more free. We see as and when technology is advancing, the whole idea is people should become more free. Less hassles and more enjoyment. And everywhere in the billboards, everywhere in the newspapers, media, the propagation is how to enjoy more. So we are gearing here to enjoy. But we see now on the line that as we are progressing and rapidly progressing and really rapidly progressing, we are seeing that enjoyment is seldomly in our hands. Why is it so? Why does a living entity who is trying his best to enjoy but yet he is not able to enjoy? Because in these three modes of material nature which we are all entangled in, there is limitation of enjoyment. Enjoyment is limited. There is a field beyond which we cannot go. Just like Prabhupada gives a wonderful example. If a bull is tied to a pole and the bull is allowed to move, is the bull free or is he bound? He is free as well as bound. Free to move till the length of the rope. Beyond the length of the rope, he cannot move. That means he can go left, he can go right, little backward, little forward, but not beyond the length of the rope. Similarly, every one of us, we are bound. We all have freedom here, no doubt, but that freedom is limited. And therefore, all our quest for happiness, which is unlimited, cannot be satisfied in a limited sphere of this material world. And that's why we experience frustration. We have big plans, but our plans are beyond that rope. And therefore, we cannot experience freedom. One time, a small child, while playing a kite, he asked his father, "My dear father, why do we bind the kite to the rope, to the string? Because we bind the kite to the string, the kite is experiencing less freedom. The kite is moving in the sky, but because it is bound to the string, the kite cannot move freely. Why don't we cut the string and let the kite move freely in the sky?" The father said, "No. In fact, when the kite is bound, it is experiencing proper freedom. You cut the string, the freedom will go away." The child was not able to understand. So the father had to demonstrate the experiment. And he cut the string. And the child was happy, he was clapping, because the kite was now flying freely without the string, without someone pulling the string. But later the child saw, after 15 minutes, that the kite came down on the ground. The kite could not fly in the sky. So the conclusion is, as long as the string was being pulled, the kite was in the sky. So every one of us here is experiencing a unique formula, unique experience here, where we are trying to be free, yet we are bound to our own modes. One time, a great sage, Ashtavakra Muni, he came to the court of Maharaj Janak. Maharaj Janak, a great Mahajan, on the behalf of all of his citizens, asked a question to this great sage. He asked him that, why are we bound to illusory energy? Why this illusory energy is binding us? Ashtavakra Muni had a big laugh. Janak Maharaj and all of his citizens could not understand why he is laughing. Simple, straightforward, very serious question I'm asking, and this gentle sage is laughing. And Ashtavakra Muni then got up from his seat and started going away from the palace. He moved out of the door of the palace. So Janak Maharaj followed him with his citizens. And then Ashtavakra Muni came down in the garden of the palace. And then he went on and he embraced a tree. By embracing the tree, then he was shouting, "Please let me free, please let me free, please let me free." And Janak Maharaj told him that My dear sage, you are the one who are catching the tree. And why you are saying, please let me free? So Ashtamakra Muni laughed and he mentioned, this is our sight, this is our plight, that we are holding on to three modes of material nature, and when three modes of material nature are binding us, then we are asking question, oh, how I can get out of illusory energy? It is our own desire that we want to be here. We are captivated. One time Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk with all of his disciples on near an ocean beach. And while walking along the ocean, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada went to him and said, Prabhupada, these waves, they look so beautiful. And Prabhupada said, yes, the waves look beautiful, but from very far. If you go near it, they will carry you away and you will be in danger. They will bind you. And Prabhupada says, similarly, this material world looks very beautiful, but from very far. As soon as you start enjoying the material world, you have to pay a very big bill. And you get bound. That is the three modes of material nature. Because Krishna is beautiful, all of his universe energies are also beautiful. The three modes of material energy, material nature are Krishna's energy. And therefore they are also appearing beautiful. But when you don't want Krishna and you want Krishna's energy, what happens? Krishna's energy binds us. And therefore, this beautiful energy, material energy of Krishna, is always alluring all of us to enjoy and then binds us. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita that there are three modes of material nature which are equally binding to certain degrees to all of us. The first is the mode of goodness, second is the mode of passion, and third is the mode of ignorance. Prabhupada says, the mode of ignorance is the lowest. Mode of passion, little elevated. Mode of goodness, more better. But ultimately, all these three modes are equally binding. Prabhupada would say that if you are put in a prison, and in the prison, if you are given a choice, well, we are going to bind you in the prison. You have a choice. Which chain you want to be bound by? You want an iron chain, you want a silver chain, or you want a golden chain? Definitely, people will not think of golden chain. Because people don't want to be bound, first of all. People want to be free. So, mode of ignorance compared to iron chain. Mode of passion is compared to silver. And mode of goodness is compared to golden chain. Chain is ultimately chain. It binds us. No matter which color or which metal it belongs to. There Bhagavad Gita says, Urdhvam gachanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa jaganya gunavrattista adho gachanti tamasa. One who is in mode of ignorance lives a life in ignorance, not understanding who he is. Such a person, after this life, takes on the lower species of life, goes to hellish planets. Adho gachanti tamasa, goes down. Madhye tishtanti rajasa, a person who is passionate, he continues to live on the earthly realm. Madhye tishtanti. And urdhvam gachanti, one who is in the mode of goodness, he goes to the higher planets. Well, as we see from the shloka, it is not as straight and clear as the shloka goes. Because in the age of Kali Yuga, people have mixing of modes. We cannot ascertain which mode exactly we fit in. Because we may see that in the morning we may be in goodness, but immediately after some time, as soon as we go to office, catch a local train, we may be in passion. And in the evening, we may be in ignorance. And the mixing of modes keep on happening. In fact, as Kali Yuga is progressing, goodness has become very much less. Because the morning time is a time of goodness. But you find nowadays people, they get up well late in the morning. That means when they get up, the passion time is already begun. So they cannot experience goodness in their life. They start with passion. And they sleep late. That means more time they spend of the day in ignorance. And little passion. So as Kaliyuga progresses, passion and ignorance are increasing, and as it progresses ahead, ignorance will be more predominant. So in this way, we should conclude that ultimately one has to come out of the three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada says, even though the three modes are binding, of the three modes, goodness is better. One has to aspire to come to the mode of goodness. Just like Prabhupada's example is that if one wants to fly abroad to some other country, then he cannot fly from the place where he's staying. He has to go to an airport. And from an airport, he has to catch a plane. And from there, the runway, the plane will take off. So, we have been passion and ignorance. But if we are to go beyond even goodness also, first we have to reach goodness. The airport is compared to goodness. So, we have to come by our spiritual practices to the mode of goodness. And then through goodness, we should elevate ourselves further ahead to the mode of pure goodness, which is called a Shuddha Sattva. But sometimes people in this world even get bound by goodness. Like someone may go to airport and may think, airport is so nice, and he may miss the flight. So it's foolishness that if you go to airport and you miss your flight. Airport is meant to take a flight. Similarly, goodness is meant to elevate you beyond the goodness. Therefore, the whole Bhagavad Gita is geared for taking a person from wherever he is, from ignorance or passion, and elevate him to the mode of goodness, and slowly take him beyond goodness. Therefore, in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we have this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and following of four regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada would say that when we follow four regulative principles of no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling and no illicit sex, these four principles reduces ignorance and passion, decreases. And when these four principles will bring us to human form of life, Prabhupada would say, if someone is following four principles, it is not something big. He has become a human being now because he is following four principles. Breaking four principles is the life of animal. So you become a human by following four principles. But that's not enough. Then you chant Hare Krishna. When you start chanting Hare Krishna, then slowly, slowly goodness increases in our life. Because you may see that when you chant Hare Krishna, the best time to chant Hare Krishna is in the morning. That is every devotee's understanding. That if you want to chant Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said you can chant any time. But if you want to chant best and make best use of our chanting, we need to focus, have an environment where we can chant better. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lita Vishakha Ki Jai. Shri Gopal Ji Bhagwan Ki Jai. Shri Gaur Nitai Bhagwan Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, therefore, if one has to come out of three modes of material nature, how he can come out if he himself is bound? Can someone release us who himself is bound? No. Or can we release ourselves if we are bound? No. If we are to come out of the three modes of material nature, we have to associate and take help of those who are free. Therefore, there are two types of association for a devotee. One is association of an advanced devotee who is completely free from three modes. And second is association of those devotees who are better than him, who are on the path ahead of him and almost on the stage of freeing. So when we associate with these two kind of devotees, then slowly, slowly our determination to get free from modes of material nature becomes strong. And then one day we can achieve our goal. And therefore, our life should be based on good association and good sadhana, good chanting, good reading, good hearing. Just like a tree, a small sapling, when it's put in the ground, the sapling can grow properly if a proper environment is given to the small plant. Otherwise, without proper environment, you may give ample amount of water to the plant, but the plant may not grow very fast. Similarly, the Bhakti Lata beach, which has now become a sapling in our heart, it has to be given a proper environment. And that environment is in the mode of goodness. And therefore, one should associate with devotees and try to avoid as much as possible in his daily life the association of non-devotees. If one can have no association of non-devotees, it's very good. But in day-to-day life, when one cannot do that, have the meager, less, and more association of devotees. Why association with worldly-minded people are condemned? Why it is said that one should not associate with non-devotees? Because when we are endeavoring to come out of three modes of material nature, if we associate with non-devotees, they will again pull us down. There's a beautiful example that if you keep many crabs in one container, huge container, then you see that the crabs container, you don't have to put any lid on the container. Because you can be sure the crabs will never move out of the container. Even the lid is not there, the crabs will not move. Why? Because if you watch inside the container, you will see as soon as one crab starts moving up, the other crab pull him down. This is today's world. No one likes others' progress, no matter what. So non-association of non-devotees means as soon as you progress, you become a little spiritual. Immediately your friends say, what is this? Why you have become so spiritual? Become like a normal person, like me. I am a normal person. Become like me. So they will not allow us to progress. And therefore, association of non-devotees has to be given. And association more with devotees who are already on the path of getting freed or who are already freed. And in that association, we can make progress and we can go ahead in our life. I remember very clearly an example, a very beautiful story about Srila Prabhupada first meeting his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So on the first meeting, as soon as Srila Prabhupada sat down in front of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur told immediately Srila Prabhupada, you are a young man. Preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English language. Now, Srila Prabhupada had come for the first time to meet this sadhu. There was not even a first dialogue of introduction. And here is this person telling him, a new stranger, that he should dedicate his life preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in English language. So Prabhupada was not initially a little taken aback. So Prabhupada kind of challenged. And Prabhupada asked his spiritual master that how your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message will be heard. Today India is bound. This happened in the year 1922, I believe, 1922. India was still under British subjugation. And therefore, he asked this question that India is not free. Let India get freedom and then we can propagate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, India will never be free. No one is free. Today India is bound by Britishers. After British rule, people will have to take up some other rule. People are never bound. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that we are actually bound by three modes of material nature. No matter which government is there, ultimately Maya's government is eternally acting in the material world. So that government is there, that is binding us. So irrespective British is there or some other country is there, that is not an issue. The real issue is to come out of three modes of material nature. And then he mentioned that the real problem is people are in ignorance. The real problem is not British, the real problem is ignorance. And then ignorance can be eradicated by propagation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message of Sankirtan. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message cannot wait for India to get free. It has to be done now. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur so affirmly stated this, Srila Prabhupada was convinced. And Srila Prabhupada says that I was happy to be defeated by my guru. The first time Srila Prabhupada said I was defeated by someone. And this time I experienced happiness. Because what he was saying is right. All these different freedoms we are trying, these are all small freedoms. The real freedom is to free from three modes of material nature. And we can see also that India has got freedom from Britishers, but hardly anything has improved. We may have some extra technology with us. Now we may have got some nice cars, nice instruments, nice technical gadgets, but people are still bound. Birth, old age, disease and death is still there. And adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidevik klesh are still there. So what has improved? Our clothing style has improved. Our eating style has improved. But misery is the same. There is no change. If we, in a prison cell, if we renovate the prison wall, the prison, and we tell the prisoner that we are going to keep you for 20 years, but we'll renovate the place for you, will you be happy? So this is called as renovating the material world. In the material, we are trying to adjust, trying to renovate the place where we are staying. But Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita is saying that we have to come out of it. This is not a place to stay. Bhakti Siddhanta, says Thakur, again would say, this material world is not a fit place for any gentleman. He would in fact very strongly say, this is a stool room, this is a toilet. Do your business and get out. Don't make plans to stay here. So therefore, the only way out for all of us is, as Prabhupada says in the purport, that one should become learned in association with Supreme Lord. And for that, one has to take shelter of the knowledge. When the knowledge is there, when we hear regularly, when we read regularly, when we come to know that this material world is not for our enjoyment, this material world is actually a prison term, and we have to somehow get out of it and not plan to stay here happily living ever after. So this is a gist of something from this verse. We'll end here. If anyone has any comment, you can raise your hands. Comment? Question. Anyone has comments? You want to speak something, Prabhu? Gaur Prabhu? Want to add something? Giri Gordhan Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Would you like to add something?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, those three modes of material nature which controls us, are they because of our karma?
Three modes of material nature. Karma means what? Karma is part of three modes, material nature. Law of karma acts, and that is activated through the three modes of material nature. So, when we act, and we embrace a certain mode, and we do certain karmas, then the next aspect of our life, either this life or the next life, is also decided. So, the body which we have right now is already natured by certain particular modes. But that is happening because previously, maybe last life or maybe many more lives, cumulative, we acquired a body today which is based on the previous activities we had. But everything we do, which is called as karma, it is under the subjugation of three modes of material nature. The activity connected by a living entity who is conditioned under three modes of material nature in the material world is called as karma. So the activity, so when we embrace passion, so naturally the activity will be passionate and the karma generated will be accordingly that. So in that sense, when we are in particular modes of material nature, we have a certain set of activities, and then certain set of results are there.
So for example, if the mode of ignorance is acting upon me now, so that is, does it mean that I embraced the mode of ignorance previously or something like that?
You acted in such a way, you wanted to enjoy, and the result is that you want to, that the body is now in the mode of ignorance. The body is given like that. Some people like to sleep more and be less active. Why? Because that body is designed not to be active. Because previously in last life, he may have ventured upon some activities by which, the result of which the body is now ignorant, more in the mode of ignorance. But every time, still a person has a choice to come out of it. And that choice is given in Krishna consciousness. In the material world, there is no choice. In the material world, you have to pay the bill for what you enjoyed. But as soon as you step into the spiritual culture, there is a chance that you can change your decisions. You can change your path. So when you come to spiritual life, then the figures change, the account figures change in your life. It's different altogether game. Because then you take shelter of Krishna, and based on the instruction of Krishna, then even though you have ignorant body, you may like to sleep more, but somehow you are trying your best to engage in Krishna's service. And slowly that same body undergoes a transformation, and you will feel more seeing yourself elevated from ignorance to passion and finally into goodness. So process of Krishna consciousness is very strong. Generally speaking, to come out of ignorance to passion and goodness is very difficult. But Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message of Sankirtan is so powerful, this Harinam is so powerful, that no matter which place we are all staying in, it can pick us from that place and put us into the highest position of a pure devotee. That is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. That it has come in this age where people are almost all are fallen, practically, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called as the deliverer of fallen souls, Patita Pavan. And he is elevating, picking up people from lower stratum and engaging them in Krishna consciousness, which is like beyond mode of goodness. That is the point. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.